Jesus, the son of David. How is Jesus, the son of David? Was Jesus born a man or a child? Was Jesus born? Jesus was born a baby? The answer is yes. Yes. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. If you look like you're interested, Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1. So whatever we ask a question, we need to give a Bible answer. This is not our opinion, and this is a Bible study. It says the book of the genealogy. What's a genealogy? What does the word genealogy mean? It's what? Family tree, the lineage, yes? So this, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and what does the Bible say in verse 1? Son of David and the son of Abraham. Who was Abraham? Who was Abraham? The father of all nations. God made a covenant. We're studying that on Wednesday night. That God made a covenant with Abraham in the Old Testament, and he told Abraham to leave his country and I will make you a great nation. Yes? And he told him his descendants will be like what? The sand of the sea. Yes? And so from Abraham, because of Abraham's obedience, down through his family tree, we'll read this, where Jesus came from. And this is on his human side. It says, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Verse 3, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot by Ruth. Boaz by Jesse. And Jesse, watch this now, this is David's grandfather. Begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon, by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abiah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josiah. Verse 11, Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. After we walked to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azar begot Zodak, Zodak begot Akim, and Akim begot Elihu, Elihu begot Eleazar, Eleazar begot Matthew, and Matthew begot Jacob, and Jacob begot who? Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. And so we see David in Jesus' seed line, the Lord's family tree. And so that is why Jesus is called the son of David. Jesus was not only human, but he was also divine. He was not only human, he was a man, but he was also divine in his nature. Okay? And so this is the question that Jesus is asking the experts in the law. Who do you say that I am? Yes? And how is it that Jesus can be called the son of David? That's the question. So he asked them, the trained experts, and he said he's referring to in the scriptures. Had they been asked, they could have referred to a number of the Old Testament scriptures, including, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I will encourage you to mark these scriptures in your Bible as well. And here in 2 Samuel 7, we see God made a covenant with David. God made a covenant with David. And This is what God promised David in the beginning. What is a covenant? What is a covenant? What is the definition of the word covenant? What's another word that we can use for covenant? An agreement. I like that. What's another word can we use for an agreement? A promise. What else? A will. Yes, the Old Testament is an agreement. The New Testament is agreement. What is a covenant? A covenant is a contract. Yes, which are normally between two parties with obligations or actions that must take place, and it must be signed by some token. Yes? And so, if I say to you, wash my car, and I'll give you £50, we have a contract. The contract is not binding unless some action takes place on both of our parties. That makes sense? So you cannot ask me for the £50 unless you what? Unless you upheld your part and washed the car of the covenant. Yes? And so, once you complete your action, because it's a promise, I will pay you. It makes sense? And so, God made this promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want you to notice in verse number 12. He said to David, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, in other words, when you die, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. For I will establish his kingdom. What's a kingdom? What's the definition of a kingdom? The rule and reign of Christ. The rule and reign. Now we normally say a kingdom is the church. That's true, but that's not the real meaning. So it's a contract. I'm going to set up the reign and rule. Yes? He said, and this person that he's prophesying will come from your seed. Yes? Then he says in verse number 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom alone. Whatever. We can connect that with Matthew 16. Matthew 16. What did Jesus tell Peter? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes? And then he says in verse number 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of man and with the blows of the sons of men. But mercy shall not depart from him, for I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And he says, in your house, who is God speaking to? To David. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. And so, when we think of a throne today, you see the king or queen, but the queen goes to open up parliament in November, she sits on the throne. You see, have you ever seen the opening of parliament here in the UK? The queen comes with her crown, and she sits on her throne. Yeah. And sometimes when her husband was with her, he will sit on the throne next to her. But if you notice, her throne is higher than his. Always. Yeah? So her throne is always higher. So now the king comes, and his wife, Queen Camilla, her throne will be just slightly lower than his. Yeah? And so, this is prophecy. Did this come to pass? Did this come to pass? How do we know? We just read in Matthew chapter 1. Yes? That from David's seed came Jesus Christ. Okay? And then look at Psalm 78, verses 68 through 72. Psalm 78, verses 68 through 72. someone read that for us?
One of the answers to this question, as God, is Jesus God? As God, Messiah is David's Lord, and as man, he is David's son. As Messiah, he is David's Lord, and as man, he is David's son. So Jesus is 100% divine and 100% human. Yeah, and I'm going to show you that in Scripture. I'm going to show you that in Scripture as well. So, he is both of the root and offspring of David according to Revelation 22:16. And then we also read that in Psalm 101, verse 10. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. And verse number 10. Sir, Psalm 101, verse number 1. Someone read that for us.
I'll speak of mercy.
No, Psalm 101, verse 1.
I'll speak of the Lord and justice to you. Lord, I'll seek for it. I'll be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to me?
Sorry. Excuse me, sorry. It's at Psalm 110, sorry, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand, so I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Okay, your footstool. That is what Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 22 in our text. Matthew 22. verse number 41 says that while the Pharisees were gathering together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, verse 43, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.'" Where is Jesus quoting from? In verse number 44. Where is Jesus quoting it from?
Psalm
110 and verse 1 that we just read. Yes? And so he says in verse, or asks a question in verse 45, if David then calls him Lord, what does the word Lord mean? What does the word Lord mean? Master. You heard the word landlord? He is master of those lands. You know, in the first century and beyond here in England, when England was a fledgling nation up in Scotland, and Scotland is older than England, a lot older than England, because a lot of that land was uninhabited, the English took over that land and they would send men to say, "I want you to take over that land and you will be the Lord over that land." That's where the word landlord comes from. You see that? The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit thou at thy right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." What's significant about the right hand as opposed to the left? What's significant about sit at your right hand?
More
strength. And what else?
Authority.
Power. Judgment. Because when judgment day comes, where do you want to be? Which side of the throne do you want to be on? On the right hand, where the sheep are. You don't want to be on the left. You remember what Beyonce said, "To the left, to the left"? She might have said that for a reason, because that's where judgment is. On the left hand side, you got to head right and sit right. Isn't that right? Amen. And so he said, "Sit thou at thy right hand." And he's sitting on what? David's throne. Jesus is sitting on David's throne because he is from the seed of David. So we think of a throne, and the reason I made that point about the king or queen when they go to Parliament is the throne was bigger. It had room for more than one person to sit on there. So Jesus is sitting on the throne of the womb. Yeah? So when the judgment ends, what's going to happen? Christ is going to give all rule and power back to God. Yes? How do you know that Jesus has all authority? Matthew 28 and verse 20. Sorry, verse 18. 18, thank you. He said, "All power and authority has been given to me where? In heaven and on earth." You've heard me say this before. I don't care who you are and how big and bad you think you are. You can have 100 degrees and all the names and titles before your name and after your name and letters and numbers and whatever you want to put after that. But guess what? You might be powerful down here, but you won't be powerful out here. When you die, that's where you're Doctor, Reverend, Master, the Honorable, Lord, Dean, Prince, whoever. You have to leave all of that. Because Christ outranks everybody. He is King of Kings and Lord. That means he outranks everybody. Yes.
My question is,
yes.
43.
Yes.
He said unto them, "How then did the Spirit call him Lord?" And 44 said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool."
Yes.
Who is speaking in 44 and who is speaking at 43?
Jesus is speaking all of it.
he mentioned David's name.
Yes. Because Jesus.
David, the one who gave him the throne.
No.
Is David the one who said to him, I will make your enemies?
No. So remember now, in order for Jesus to come in the flesh, he had to come through David.
You have to come to David.
Come through David.
Through David.
Through David. So through David, he had children, and then all the way down to Joseph. You remember Joseph? His earthly father. Yeah? And that's how Jesus got here. So he said, God made a promise to David that said, from your seed, from your lineage, the seed is going to come who's going to reign and rule forever. It makes sense? Yeah, so that's why it's important as parents. You never know who you're raising. Huh? Your child may one day be a very powerful person. Yeah? Very powerful person. Now, because remember what Romans 8:28 says. What does Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for good. What are all things? The good things and the bad things. Didn't David mess up? But God still used him. Didn't Solomon mess up? God still used him. Didn't one Rahab a prostitute? But you read her name in Matthew 1. God said, so it's not what you do, it's what God can do through you. You see that? So you may see it as a failure. Huh? Who was it? Joseph in Genesis. His brothers sold him into slavery. And he ended up in Egypt. He was the number two man. Eventually, and his brothers came and they didn't recognize him. And then when he revealed himself to them, they were all crying. They thought he was going to take revenge. One of the most beautiful verses, I think this is Genesis 22:30. Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people. You see that? So in every situation and circumstance, God can take that and work it out. For his good. Now, I want you to see all of these verses that I've given to you. I want you to see something in your Bible. Acts chapter 2. Because we're talking about a kingdom. What do you need to have a kingdom? We said you need five things for a kingdom. What were those five things? You remember when we first started? And that you need a what? You need the land. You need what else? You need a leader. You need what? You need some subjects. And what else you need? You need some laws. I think it was four things. If it's five, you just correct me. It's four things. So you need some land. You know, you say, well, I'm the ruler up here. I'm the boss. The boss here. Huh? You need some people. Some subjects. You need a law or some laws, and you need a leader. Alright? So Jesus is come to establish you in Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost. 50 days after what? 50 days. What does Pentecost mean? 50 days after Passover. What happened on Pentecost? The church came to existence. You remember that? Okay. So, Acts 2, verse 22. Here is Peter, the same one that Jesus made the promise that he's going to establish his kingdom. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Right? Here is his thesis, the thing to be proved. Acts 2, verse 22. Man of Israel, who is he talking to the Jews? Who's he talking to in Matthew 22? To the Jews, right? Man of Israel. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. God proved that Jesus was the Messiah. What's a miracle? What's a miracle? Something that cannot be explained by science or nature. What's a wonder? Something that causes awe And what's a sign? Sign is point to these.
Turn left.
Turn right. You exit.
Yeah.
Miracles, wonders, and signs. What did God do that for? Which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also knew. In other words, you are eyewitness of all of these things. This was to prove that Jesus was the Christ. He says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by Lord's hands, have crucified and put to death. Is that true? Who killed Jesus? We all killed Jesus. But it's told to the Jews. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. It says what? For David. We're studying about David, aren't we? For David saith concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before me, or before my face. For he is where? Where is he? He is at my right hand. That's taken from Psalm 16. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad, moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul where? The word, some translations say hell, but the better translation is Hades. What is Hades? What is Hades, or where is Hades? That's the place where where the rich man and Lazarus went. So when everybody dies, when you and I die, anybody that's gone, they're going to this place called Hades. Yeah? A holding place before judgment. For you will not leave my soul in Hades. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus was crucified, and where did Jesus go for those 3 days?
Hades.
To Hades. Why did he go there? Why did Jesus go there? To defeat the last enemy, which was what? Death. So, they couldn't, the Jews, couldn't catch him in a lie. They couldn't kill him. They couldn't catch him in a lie. They couldn't get him to sin. So what's the next step? We're going to have to kill him. To get rid of him. And he went on Satan's ground. And he defeated the last enemy. You see that? So he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So if we do what he did, we'll get what he got. Amen. So, Satan, though he had the victory, you will not leave my soul in Hades. Nor will you allow your holy one to see corruption. Verse 28, you have made known to me the ways of life. You made me full of joy in your presence. And look what Peter says in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely of you, of who? Of the patriarch David. That he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, as David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ and sit on his throne. Where do we read that? In 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. You see that? So he is recounting their history to them. You remember that David, that God made a covenant with David, that from his seed the Christ would come. That's what he's saying. He, David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of whom? Of the Christ. That his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. And he says, therefore, being exalted to where? Verse number 33. He's exalted where? To the right hand. He said, that's where power is, of God. And having received in the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, who's the he? Jesus poured out this. What's the this? The Holy Spirit. Huh? You need to underline that in your Bible. Verse number 33. Let me go through that again. I'm going to try to help somebody. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and had received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was made available to indwell man for the first time. Yes? And so, he says, that's Jesus, poured out this, the Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear. Why, how do you do that? Because remember, they thought that the apostles were drunk. In the early part of Acts chapter 2, you remember that? Yeah. Which you see, you now see here, verse 34. For David did not ascend into heaven. David didn't go into heaven. But he saith to himself, the Lord saith to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Where did you find that? In Psalm 110. And verse number 1. So all that was prophesied in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and also in Psalm 78, 68 through 72, Micah chapter 5 verse 2, Psalm 110 came to pass on the day of Pentecost. And then verse 36 says, therefore, what is therefore, as a result of everything I said before, in other words, it's saying in summary, let all the house of Israel know for sure that God has made this Jesus, both what? Whom you crucified, both what? Lord and Christ. What does Lord mean? Sovereign. Yeah, that's his divine side. And Christ, sorry, that's his human side. And Christ, that's his, Lord is his divine side, and Christ. What does Christ mean? Savior. Yeah? He died in the flesh on the cross. God has made this Lord, both Lord, this Jesus, both Lord, that's his divine side, and Christ, that's his human side. So how is it that David can call Jesus Lord and also be the son of David? Because he has two natures. Amen. And so, and then it says in verse 37, they said that when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. So we see the fulfillment of all of the scripture. Now, let's get back to Matthew 22. These men to whom Jesus was speaking in Matthew 22 should have known this, shouldn't they? They have the law. What does the Bible say? Always learn, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You've got folk that can get a degree but can't cross the street. Now, we've got some professional students.
Some can have knowledge, Israel bias towards the person.
Yeah.
Sure, because you know, most times you see they are affecting him.
Yes.
Trying in most cases.
Yes.
So not so that what they knew.
Yes.
But probably I look at the kind of cards that it could have been him.
Yes.
So maybe they are totally not, but they are bias about Christ.
Do we do that today?
Yes.
Yeah, we say that could be. Anybody, sister, please, sorry. Yes.
I've learned something here, but I want to be sure.
Yes.
When Jesus was alive,
yes,
it was called Jesus.
Yes.
Is it after the death that he called the name Christ? Because you said Christ means Savior.
Savior.
Yeah. So, how come is it after the death that he had Christ?
That's just his name. That's just his name. So,
but he wasn't called Jesus Christ when he was alive.
He was. Yes. So just think of yourself. You have many names. Just depends on the context. So you are someone's mother. You are someone's aunt. You are someone's neighbor. You are someone's co-worker. You see?
So it just depends on the rule and function that you stand in at that time. Does that make sense?
I remember it was called Jesus, the New Testament.
Yeah.
Even the Old Testament, it was called Jesus. Jesus without adding the Christ. Christ was, Christ wasn't marked as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But after the death,
mm-hmm.
they called the two names together, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ.
So here's your homework. Here's your homework. Here's your homework. I want you to go through the New Testament and find out all the instances of Jesus Christ. Yeah? And were they while he was alive?
You have to read all the New Testament.
Yeah. But that's your homework, because that's interesting. Is that true? So you want to know, is that true? Yeah? Yes, Brother Bob. Matthew 16:16. Yes. Let's see what the Bible says. What does that say?
You are the Christ, the Son of the new God.
Yeah. You see that? And who said that?
Awesome.
Simon Peter, who's the same one as speaking in Acts chapter 2. You see that? So remember, Jesus asked the disciples or the apostles, who do you say that? You know, what's the word on the street? What are people saying? And he said, well, who do you say that? And Jesus said, you are the Christ.
It was revealed to him.
Yes.
But when Peter was, or the disciple was with him, they didn't call him Jesus Christ. They called him Jesus, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But because it was revealed to Peter, that moment, that's why he said Christ without even saying Jesus.
So what does the word, so we need to figure out what Christ means?
Savior.
Okay. So again, Jesus has many different facets, like a dummy. You see? So again, just like you and I, all of us have different roles that you functioning. You see that? So you might be a doctor, but you're not a doctor all the time. You're someone's mother, etc., etc. So the question for you is, were there other instances where Jesus was addressed as the Christ when he was alive? Yes? Yes, Brother, please. Then you have to.
So, I'd like to say that from what I can see, I don't know if Christ means Savior, but from what I see here, it means anointed one. So, but in the context of all the prophecies that the Jews received, the coming of Jesus Christ, it can still relate to what anointed one to be the Savior.
Yeah.
Because the Jews waited for so many years for this anointed one coming.
Yeah.
And in the prophecy, in Isaiah,
Is it chapter...
Isaiah chapter 5. Chapter 53.
Yes, yes.
From verse 5, it talks about the Messiah coming. And the Messiah means Savior.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that means the Jews have been waiting for the Savior, which otherwise is Christ.
Yeah.
So if, from where Brother Power directed us to, if Peter said, you are Christ, that means Peter realized that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, which the Jews have been waiting for.
Yes.
And in other words, the two words, Messiah and Christ, or anointed one, are the same when you compare it with their longing for the Savior.
Yes.
So I think if we can just, find a way, not really find a way, we can, with the evidence we have in the scripture, we can connect the dots, and then we can actually prove that Jesus Christ is Christ, and he was a threat to us, Christ in Christ.
And also, the fact that Jesus, over and over in the
Bible, men were forbidden to, and we're going to study this in Matthew 23, to offer worship to anyone other than God. What's the first commandment? No other God. You see that? So Jesus accepted worship, yes, because he was God. In order to be installed as a king, be king, high priest, one needed to be anointed. Even you see, when the king was installed, so to speak, he was anointed as well. So that was something of a divine nature. Yes, just here.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. What I'm thinking, sister said is that because we have to know that Jesus came as a poor man.
Yes.
So people wasn't really sure that he's gonna come in that form.
Yes.
So I think they measured him as Christ because they realized later that because he revealed to us that we are poor. Before I just read, they realized later that he's Christ.
Mm.
I think they always call him Jesus because he's a poor man, he washed their feet.
Yes.
So they think, then later when they realized, when Jesus started revealing to them, making them know, and all the performance, they realized that it's Christ, the Son of God.
Yes.
But that's what I'm thinking, why it was mentioned.
Let's go back to Acts 2:22. Yeah, because everything we do must be according to God's word. Yes? So, the Jews were the ones to whom God made the promise. The Jews were the ones to whom God made covenants with. And so they were the ones to whom he addressed on their Pentecost. He said, men and brethren, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you. He proved to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also knew. In order to go to court and to win your case, you must present evidence. So they had enough evidence to prove that Jesus was the Messiah and Jesus was the Christ. And so all Peter was doing was declaring what God had already prophesied, yes, and which is why Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? Based on what you have seen and heard, what evidence do you have? You see, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Son of our Jehovah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. How do we prove that God is real today? Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have everything you need to prove that God is real and that his word is true. Yes? Because on judgment day, what will judge us? The word of God will judge us in the last day. It's not what you think. It's not what you thought. It's not what you heard someone else say. Yeah? So, if we do not believe, we have rejected the truth and made him a liar. Yeah? So the Jews will be held at a higher, stricter judgment. And you and I at a more strict judgment, because guess what? We have the good old truth. Huh? But they had us a shadow. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a concordance. They didn't have a Bible app. Different translations. They didn't have all that. And they had more faith than us. And so on judgment day, what did we say last week about the manifest? God is going to open up some books. What book is he going to open up first? The scriptures. The Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is not written in there, huh? And every
every day, and then I'm going to handle this every day, that we live, God takes notes on what we're doing. Every word we say, you will have to give an account for. Every action, you have to give an account for. And He's going to judge us based on what thus said the Lord. You heard that bold-headed preacher tell you in 2024, and you shook your head and said, I understand that. You can't plead ignorance now, it's too late. You raise the tape. And guess what? All of us will be judged the same way on the same day. That's why I call it judgment. Can you imagine how many people in the world today? How many? Roughly.
About 7 billion.
7 billion?
9 billion.
9 billion. That's now. For all the generations before us, God's going to judge them all in one day. Yes? Last comment here, coach. You're coming into the time now.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
This is not a comment. Yeah. It's a question.
Yes.
And as I
yes.
I've heard you say several times that God